All right. Can we rise to our feet? Let's declare the word of God together. As we start learning God's word, let us declare his word together. The Lord is good.
All the time.
Now let's declare God's word. Like I said, this is what we do to charge up our spirit so we can receive the revelation of God. It's what we're able to hear that God is saying to us that we are able to act upon and get results in our lives. It's not just what the ears hear, but what the heart understands. All right, let's declare God's word together. One, two, let's go. Now I declare a revelation in the knowledge of him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
I said amen.
Amen.
I said amen.
Amen.
That will be your portion today in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The word will enter your heart today, and it will give you light and direction.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now let's open our Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 12. I just want to take a text of scripture for us to start with, and then we will take a small review. Then I teach what I have for us for today. And then, of course, we know this is we are coming to an end in this series, The True Service of God, in a short while. The book of Romans chapter 12. This is just to take it like a text, okay? Paul said, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. He now said that through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each person has one, a measure of faith. He said, we have many members in one body, just as we do, all right? And all members do not have the same function. So we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. He says, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, each person is to exercise his gift according to the proportion of his faith. If service, exercise your gift in your serving. In your serving according to the proportion of your faith. He who teaches in his teaching should do the same thing. All right? Or he who exhorts in his exhortation. Now he who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. In answer in verse 10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Pacific. Let me just stop here. Devoted to prayer. All right, the Lord is good. Now, we have been looking at this true service of God for some time, and then we are coming to a conclusion of it today, next time. Now, so we have been looking at that, the issue of the service of God. How do we serve God appropriately? At this point, I think I should start reviewing from the beginning some things that we have been saying. Just like when the apostle was praying just now, reminded us that we said the main service of God is what we do in our hearts, not what we do with our hands, not what we do with our time. It is what we do in our hearts. It is as we are transforming our hearts into the image of the Lord Jesus by this constant entrance of the Word of God. If God's Word is not entering your heart and changing you, you are not working for God. No matter what you are doing outwardly, if the Word of God is not entering inside you and changing you, you are wasting your time. No matter the amount of money you give to ministry, if the Word of God is not entering you and changing you, you are wasting your time. No matter how much you preach, I should emphasize that. No matter how much you preach, some people came to the Lord on the last day, or they will come, and they will say, we preached in your name. So much was the power of our preaching that we worked miracles. And they would look at them and say, I never knew you. Why? He said, you're a worker of iniquity. That is what God looks at first, is how much Christ is coming into your heart. How much Christ is being produced inside you. That is what he looks at first before he talks about any other thing. So let's bear that in mind. So when we're talking about working for God, therefore, that's where we start. We don't rush to church. You understand? The other day I was saying, okay, we talk on radio. Apostle, he said that if you enter a church, just give your life to Christ. For 2 years, you should do nothing. You should just sit in the church. For most people, they won't agree. But of me, I agreed with him totally. When you come to church, they shouldn't give, if you're a pastor, don't give people who are just giving their lives to Christ work to do. Tell them, let them understand. That's the issue. Part of what I'm trying to do is to let them understand what is important. You understand? Because if you don't do that, they can be led astray. Because if a man is coming to church and tell, look, your presence and you're hearing the word and obeying it is the primary thing. And you watch him do that for months, for a year, for 2 years, he will know what is important. All right? But then if you give him, okay, look, you are going to be the one handling the microphone. Within 6 months, he thinks he has made it. You promote him, the chief singer. Are you getting my point? The one that a lot of Christians make as mistakes when they are an unbeliever, musician, gives his life to Christ. You now come to church, and now say, come and lead praise worship. That is not only bad, it's a sin. How can you be committing that kind of iniquity? Eh? There's a world of difference between jamming in the nightclub and leading worship. The man needs some time to consecrate his voice. That voice has been polluted and diluted and mishandled. He needs some time to consecrate it. And the consecration is not by saying, oh, Lord, I will sing for you. No, it's Lord, I will not sing for a while. That is it. While we sit down and transform our hearts. Until that heart transformation is done, the outward thing is nothing. Are you picking my point here? We'll discuss that. We're just trying to review briefly, okay? So where we have been, the part we have been in now, of course, let me just take another one. One of the other things we try to explain is that it's not only what we call spiritual that is the work of God. Let's bear that in mind, because after we have worked in our hearts, God has something for us to do. But like we saw here, God has gifts for everybody, and there are different types. It is not everybody that's a preacher, primarily. That is, you say, what is your calling in life? I'm a preacher. It's not everybody. I believe, this is my own estimate, I may be wrong, that it's just less than 10%, slightly less than 10% of the church is called into that office. Most people are into the other things. What I mean is that if somebody is a teacher in a school, that is a call of God, is a ministry that God has given to the person. In fact, Paul said that through the grace given to me, my own assignment is to help you discover what you are supposed to do. That's what Paul was saying. All right? That is through the grace given to me, I say to every man not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think. We looked at the example of Angelo Tono, who the call of God, that is the pressure on his soul to serve God better, was mounting and increasing. So he decided that what he needed to do was to become a missionary also. What he needed to do was to join the ministry and be ordained a reverend, a pastor. But then God arranged such a manner that the minister came to town and he went to talk to that man. And the man said, okay, we'll talk again later. When he came back to talk to the man again, the man said, listen, I believe the Holy Spirit spoke to that man too. It was a minister of the gospel. He said, God needs businessmen as much as he needs missionaries. And Lutuno just said, this is my life. And the man was possessed by the spirit of the inventor. He was possessed by the spirit of the businessman. He made a lot of money. At the point in time, he was giving out 90% of his income to support missions. And I want to talk about that today. The giving ministry is the reason why I read this. He was giving 90% of his income to support the work of the ministry. 90%. 90. There was a time he sold his old company. Was worth many millions of dollars in the 70s. And then he took everything. It was in the news. That this crazy man, they knew him to be a crazy fellow. But this new one he was doing was the height of madness. He took everything and gave it out to missions. People do things like, okay, Bill Gates is spending a lot of money on malaria, HIV. Yeah, but he's spending money on things like that. All right, the other day I saw him, this was years ago. He and Warren Buffett were being interviewed by one man, and he was mentioning some diseases that they are fighting in South America. And Warren Buffett said, listen, if this guy was a doctor, it would be my doctor. Are you getting my point? He was so impressed with the knowledge that Bill Gates had. Most of his money is being spent on fighting diseases, malaria, HIV, schistosomiasis, stuff like that. Okay? Men are doing that. Arjun Lutono did the other one. He sold his whole company, and all the money he got was shared out for the preaching of the gospel. You getting that point? Why? Because a man taught him long ago, God needs businessmen as much as he needs missionaries. And he understood that, and he ran with that, all right, and then it affected, of course, his generation. So we need to understand that it's not only preachers that preach that are serving God, it is all of us Christians. Even a mother who we call a full-time housewife, okay, is serving God. You must understand that. Raising children, all right, to release into this wicked generation. it is easier. People don't know what is hard in life. It's easier to run out in the morning, okay, and run up and down and make money and come back home. Sit down and have people who were born with foolishness become wise. It's not in your Bible like that. Foolishness, where is it? And a mother is supposed to transmit such foolishness, change that heart into the heart of wisdom, and make them grow wise every day. It's not a part-time job. It's not a housemaid's job. It's not a house help's job. All these people are hirelings. They give up on your child rapidly. They will. They have to. They don't have the grace. They don't have the connection. The only one that God said will not quickly forget the nursing child is the mother. God had to compare himself. How will a mother forget her child? The maid can forget. Godly children are not raised by people who are hirelings. They are not. They are raised by the parents who understand. And no matter how much you serve God, he will not bless the children if you don't give them time. I don't know whether you get my point. But I want to, give me a word now, English word. Blackmail God. You want to put him in a corner. That God will not let my children go crazy. He knows how much I have served him. God will be looking at you like this. Go and ask David. Now say he go tell you. Go and ask David. The other day, just by the way, you know I like to gist. I was reading my Bible again. I said, David, now bad guy. His first six sons were born by six different women. Yeah. Oh, you've not noticed it before. David's first six sons were born by six different women. Did you hear that? Did you hear what I said? All the boys went mental. So what I'm going to say is, they listen to this. David, with all the zeal, a man after God's heart. That was God's testimony. He is a man after my heart. First six sons, born by six different women. All the boys went mental. All of them. The most handsome one was a guy who didn't forgive anybody. That guy was a mafia don. Before the Italians invented cold revenge, he had it in his heart. To the girl, don't worry. Sit down. Don't worry. Don't worry. I'll handle this matter. 2 years passed. 2 years. Nothing happened. Amnon was feeling like useless prince that he was. Feeling very happy. The Absalom killed him one day. And then he ran away. Then he returned, plotted to overthrow his father. Now, let me not sit on David. With all the serving, he served God. God said, listen. You have to sit down and teach your children. Do you know why I chose Abraham? So that he will instruct his children and his household after him in the way of righteousness. You can fight wars for me. It doesn't mean the boys will be normal. Out of mercy, God just look at one day, say, Bele, you don't try. Now give him Solomon. Who too? He tries more, but Papa don't hold that time. So David set up a team of men to teach Solomon. And he learned a lot of wisdom. But David forgot to tell him, your first six sons must not be born by six women. He forgot that part. Solomon had to learn that one by himself. By the time he learned it, was too late too. And I see men many were running after one woman and the other. I said, you increase your head. Men who have done it more than you, they've discovered that it is bad. Now, I know where I went into that, all right? So you see, raising children is a ministry. They asked Pat Robertson's wife, what have you done with your life? He said, I raised my four children. What are you leaving for this earth as your own contribution?
He said, the four children that I raised. I watched it on TV. I think it was their 50th anniversary of marriage or something. And they took time out, interviewed her. And she said, the only thing I have to contribute, of course, apart from being a wife to her husband, is that I raised my four children. One day, a man was talking, his name keeps escaping me because I don't remember him until I want to quote him, of Coral Ridge Hour. Name just escaped me now. He was talking about George Bush, Laura Bush, I think. Was Laura Bush? The wife of the senior Bush. Barbara Bush. Who is Laura? The wife of the junior one. Anyway, let's not cause confusion in the ministry. Mrs. Bush Senior. She, that's okay. And that's Laura or Barbara. One day, the man was talking about her. He said, he quoted what she said. Then I said that, oh, by the way, it was trying to say that, well, she's not an important woman. She's just a woman who married one president and gave birth to another. I don't know what I get the point. He was trying to, he was being, ironic and sarcastic about it, all right? He just said, not an important woman. Just a woman who married one president and produced another. That didn't struck me that the presidency in their life, all right, in their lives must have been from her influence. That she was the one that made one president and gave birth to another one. Like we say in Nigeria, no be smarting. No be smarting. There was a day somebody was analyzing, when I was in Lagos, Pastor Paul, he was analyzing two American presidential candidates. On the surface, they were very different. They were as far from the East. They were as far from each other as the East was is from the West. But then he went behind and pulled their wives out, and they were almost identical to each other. I don't know what I get my point here. That is, if assuming one is 50 and the other one is 70, he will show that both wives are 49. He showed that, one was born of, one came from this part of America. He said both wives came from the same part of America. By the time he finished analyzing it, you found that those women were almost identical. The features of their lives were almost identical. What's he trying to say? That's not the men that have been president. So. Americans are choosing between two identical women. They don't know. These are women you don't see on the surface. And that's why you don't see them. It's the men that are running up and down. They just, once in a while, she just walks beside him. But he pointed out that if you look under the sun, you will find out that it looks like the most important thing in this season is carried inside the women. What I want to emphasize here. So bear it in mind, raising children is a ministry. It's not a part-time job. These days, people talk about it as if, you use it to fill time. The most important thing in the life of the woman is to get a very good degree, a good career, and then while pursuing it, she has two children, by the way, which is the reason why we think children are a burden. Children are a burden from the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is an harassment from him. And lucky are those that don't have too many. We turn the scripture upside down. Part of the reason is because we think it's a part-time job. And it's like cooking eggs. People say, the time you need for all of this, listen, if you are there, the cost is about the same, the difference in time between raising 5 and raising 15. I'm waiting for the reaction now. The Lord is good. He said it's like a mighty man going to war. His magazine of machine gun must be full. People say, do you want to sell them? No, I want to shoot them. Load them. Wah! I can look go and conquer that territory. Wah! It's the word of God. Let's leave that one for another day. We'll do childbearing seminar next year. Apostle, I go preach that one. I may not be around that weekend. The Lord is good. Now, what I'm going to say, let me just read my main message, okay? And that's the fact that, listen, okay? This is a fact. It is not a part-time job. It's an important job. If you see somebody who decides to do it well, honor the person. This world, it makes it look like, you see a woman, she has achieved so much, she has a lot of money, or she's a top-level professional, or she's a professor of this and all of that. And I now see another woman who didn't go through that pathway. We unconsciously think, this woman was wise. Forget it. In this life, all these things we are pursuing, they are vanity. That's the truth. All these things are ministries. Teaching in a primary school is a ministry. I'm not joking about that, all right? It's not everything. Christians must forget this idea of calculating success in life by earning. No, don't do that. Don't do that. There are things that must be done. They must be done. I told you, there's a brother I know. Where do you teach? So, university graduate. Say, I teach in a primary school in Port Harcourt. I was curious, why a primary school? He said, I have a way with children. That when they are around me, they get excited. There's something about me when I'm in their presence. I won't go and sit down with adults who don't respect my presence. My grace is not with them. Are you getting my point? It doesn't manifest. That's a ministry. Please, I'm trying to emphasize again. Let me not sit down too much because I'm trying to revise everything as we're coming to an end. Okay? Listen, everybody has a ministry. It's not only the preacher. Everybody has a ministry. The job of the preachers, all right, is to energize the ministry of each Christian. All right? We'll be talking about that. So, where we are now is looking at the issue of giving. How do we give as working for God? Because it's a very important subject. Very important. How do we give as working for God? We have looked at it. Let me just, okay, that's where we are. So I think I should start my last review from that point. We have looked at a number of things. Giving is important. It's one major way by which we express our love for God. But let's be careful that we don't look at, don't do it the way it's commonly taught these days, which removes the spirit out of it. The good spirit is removed. We have looked at some of those things. One, we have established the fact that motive counts with God. Motive counts. Money in itself is not a seed in the realm of the spirit. It's not. Every seed has its proper field. If you want to sow corn, it must go into the earth. If you want to sow money, it must go into a financial sector. Are you getting my point? If you want to sow into the realm of the spirit, it must be a spiritual thing. So the idea of giving as a seed, it's not a tangible thing. What I mean is that it's a spiritual thing. So the spiritual traits that are the real seeds. So if I give money, the real seed is what is inside my heart while I'm giving the money. Are you getting my point here? So it's not that you can't sow 10,000 naira. It's not, that's not true. You can't do it. You can't do it. If you wanted to sow 10,000 naira, it means you bought 10,000 naira yam and you are bringing it from Benue to Enugu. That's sowing 10,000 naira. Are you getting me? Am I confusing you? You look confused. So if I invest 1 million naira, that's sowing 1 million in that sense. But if I gave it, for example, to the preaching of the gospel, I did not sow 1 million naira. What I sowed, it's the thing that's behind it. I can sow love. I can sow mercy. I can sow honor. Are you getting my point? And many Christians these days are taught to sow selfishness because they think it's just the money. But I'm saying to you again, it's not the money. It is the spirit behind it that's actually the seed. Do you understand that point? It's very important. It's the spirit that is behind it that is actually the seed. So, as believers, therefore, motive counts with God. We should bear that in mind. We'll be looking at it. So, God said in Jeremiah chapter 17, I, the Lord, I test the heart. I search the mind. These are the things I do before I give somebody a reward for the physical thing that he or she is doing. So, there are false motives. We have looked at the false motives. What are the false motives for giving? Of course, we know the issue of hypocrisy. How many people will give 1 million? Some people jump up quickly. Many people just stand up, all right? Be counted. Just stand up, be counted. That's it. I went to preach once, you know, one brother was telling me, one of the people in their church, that guy, they wanted to do it, and he has money. They wanted to do a major program. They went and approached him, bro, give us money in their church. And he promised one amount, which he never gave. He said, but is this to get the money out? Just stand in church on Sunday and say, who will give 5 million? He will jump up and he will pay. And he will give. Just announce it publicly. He will stand. But go behind and explain to him. The work of God has to be done. Please, we need this amount of money. We are trying to raise 1 million naira. How much will you give us from it? He will promise you 10,000 and he will not pay. But just go to church and announce it publicly. This morning, God wants to know his children that are faithful to him. He will be the first to jump up and he will pay. Once all the eyes are on him. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he has his reward. Very wrong motive. We all know that one. Another wrong motive is if you have been a sinner, You want to pay for your sins. That one is a double trouble for you. One, not only will your sins not be forgiven, you will even incur new sin, insulting the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the second sin. Instead of you to accept his forgiveness that he has paid for by his blood, you are trying to give to do it. That's the wrong motive. We said, of course. Also, very importantly, which will surprise many Christians, another wrong motive is giving so that God can give back to you. That's also a wrong motive. You don't give like that. Say, give because you are in need. That is not a right motive. If you are in need, you pray. Are you getting me? We've talked about that. Then giving so that you can prosper is also not the right motive. You must know the principle of prosperity. The principle of prosperity, the spiritual foundation, is you have been washed away from sin. Poverty is a curse. Jesus paid. He laid down his life for you to prosper. That is number the foundational thing. Then what a walk with God, diligence, patience. These are the spiritual laws of prosperity upon the foundation of the sacrifice of Jesus. So we are not giving because we want to prosper. What are the right motives? The primary motive for giving is love. There are two sides to love. There's love for God, which is obedience to his word, obedience to his principles. And there is love for people around you. If you see somebody who is in need, you should minister. How dwelleth the love of God in you when you are prophesying for a man to be filled, all right? Be filled, be warm. Meanwhile, there's money in your pocket. James said you are lying. You are not manifesting the love of God. So when we give like that, okay, that is a true motive, is a motive of love. So that's it. And of course, we also realize that we are faithful people. God uses people. If God wants to send somebody money, he will send somebody else. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Did you catch the way I said it?
Yes,
sir. If God wants to send you money, he will send somebody else. You won't just be good on the road. Just hear, boom, on your head. You look. You look on the floor. A bundle of naira. And the angel say, my son, thus says the Lord, pick that money. That will be stealing. That's counterfeiting. The angels are now guilty of counterfeiting currency. Where did they get it from? They stole from somebody. Or what? If he doesn't do that. If God wants to send money to somebody, he sends another person. So I'm sitting down here and praying, Father God, in the name of Jesus, give me money. And the Lord will now say, okay, Chibukem, go and invest in yam and potato. You think it's for you? It's not for you. He won't say anything. He will be working diligently. Then the day you make money, 500,000 naira. I say, good. Take 450. Go and meet Banky where he's praying. Say, the Lord sent me, sir, to come and bless you. And I will do it like this. It is well with you. I collect the money and I go away. You know why I won't tell you thank you? Because I knew it was not your money. You're an errand boy. Is it your own? Why are you doing shakara as if you know you have money? If it were not for God, I wanted to give you money, give me money. That truck will have entered into the ocean. That your yam will have gotten rotten. But you bought the yam, you transported, you sold it, and you made a decent profit. It's not your money, it's mine. I was the one that prayed. But because I was busy, are you getting my point? So when God wants to send money, he sends somebody else. He does that. So for us Christians, therefore, one of the motives for our giving is to be found faithful. To be found faithful. It's one of our motives for giving. We are found faithful. When Paul was speaking, he said, those who are stealing should steal no more. They should go and do what? Work with their hands. For what was the purpose? So that they will have to eat. True of us? False. All right? You don't read the scripture well. He said, so that they will have to give to the people who are in need. He was so emphatic on the giving side of it. That the primary reason why people labor is so that they will have to share. The primary reason why people go about doing business and doing all of these things is to have to share. But the world has turned it upside down. You labor so you will have to gather. You will lay it up for your future. Later I'll talk about Ecclesiastes. So people laying up and saying, because my children, Solomon says it's all madness. It's chasing after the wind. The primary reason why we labor, Paul was saying, is so that we'll have to share. You are getting my point? So we believers, when we understand that, so anytime we have money in our hands, we know that this money is not just about me. And we said, inside money, there are two things. There are two parts of money. What? Seed for the sower and bread for food. It's interesting that he said, he that ministers seed to the sower and bread for food. What does that tell you? Seed for the sower is first. The primary thing in God's heart is the seed for the sower. But the world turns upside down for us. He said, God gives bread for food and remnant for the sower. This is the way the world reads it. God gives what? Bread for food and then remnant to sow. So people give offerings out of change. Like I said last time, that's why I don't have time for offering time, blessing time. If you want to give, find your way to where they are giving. That's a matter of fact. You find your way there. If you really want to give, you know, when I want to buy, assuming I look at my car and it's old and God, I need a new one and it's blessing me and I'm gathering the money, I don't sit in my house. I'm waiting for somebody to come and drop spare tire in an offering basket and drop tire rod in an offering basket. I walk over to Stallion Motors, Carven Motors, Coscharis. I go over there or I go to a bank and I say to them, I need that one. And they say, okay, how much is that? I ask them, they say, it's 10 millionaire. How much do you have? I say, okay, I'll call the bank guy, come. See, I have 4 million. I give you guys. I want that car by the end of today. What are you going to give me? It's okay, you pay all this amount regularly for the next 18 months, and then the car is just totally. See the way we plan for such things. Are you okay? I say, well, let me think about it. I say, okay, what about what if you do like this? We plan. Then at the end of the day, I collect my car and I come here. And they say, oh, Banky has a new car. Praise the Lord. Everybody shout hallelujah. Did the car walk in here by itself? I proposed in my heart and I went and collected it. That is the same attitude God expects his children to have towards giving. We don't just drop to God, all right, from pocket change. No. Anything, I don't want to say the word God now because he's in everything. He's in everything. I said before, you give to propagation of the gospel and those who are ministering along that line. You give to those you are supposed to honor. You give to those who are poor. You give to those who are in need. And you also give to yourself periodically as celebration. All of these things are what? Giving to God. And there are things you propose in your heart to do. Please, I'm just revising because we are coming to a close on this thing. So the last bit we are on, I'm still talking about that issue of money and our giving as a way of giving to the Lord. Remember what I said earlier? The proportion is your business. One day, somebody wrote a mail. Or they sent a message. I think I replied. No, I was preaching somewhere. So they wrote letters. And they wrote questions. Shall I give my whole January salary to my church as first fruit? You know my answer. I said, it's your money. You do anything you like with it. That was my answer. That was my answer. Why should I be the one deciding what you do with your money? But if your question is, did God command it? No, your pastor did. But should you do it? It's your money. When God has given you understanding, you will settle down and apportion your money appropriately. Like I say all the time, you go to a church. They have bills to pay. If they write a letter to Dangote, it is a sin. To come and help, yeah, it's true, it's a sin. To come and help them pay. It is those who are there that God expects. No, your pastor shouldn't be every time believing God for money. I'm not saying you should not believe God though, but try and reduce the amount of faith he's spending on money matters. If the man comes today, we want to pray about money, Father God in that name, and pastor, come, excuse me. How much did you say? And you're 1.5. Here's a check for 1.45. So let your disciple contribute 50,000, pastor. You know, he'll stop that prayer. He'll change it to thanksgiving. Father, we worship you in the name of Marakalabo. Ask this man of God. I know what I'm saying. Prayer of request turns to thanksgiving when brethren behave themselves. All this casting out of demons because of poverty is bad behavior on the part of the people of God. Say, in the name of Jesus, I bind the spirit holding our money. He's not a spirit, man of God. Forget it. It's all these people that are holding the money. It's a spirit. Spirit that says that will not prosper. Which spirit in the church? It's all these boys and girls who have used God's money to buy a Brazilian hair. Oh God, let me not do my prayer in that area today. You know, once I've told this testimony many times. I'm the president of my alumni fellowship. Once they told me that our account did not balance. I've been in ministry for some time. I'm just not used to account not balancing. Because one of the things that God taught me, all right, is how to take my life bit by bit. You know, step by step. Here a little, there a little. So usually, I'm not used to account, no balance. So they say, why? We are short by how much? They said 2 million naira. 2 million naira. Let us pray. Prayer matter didn't come up. Give me the microphone. So in the evening, I stood. I said, brethren, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I didn't tell them the amount, though, because I know I don't do that. I don't like putting pressure on people. I just said, brethren, you see, some of us are not behaving properly. God is increasing us. We are pretending as if he's not increasing us. That's what I said. I said, brethren, please, as God is blessing you, let it reflect in how you are releasing. According to Bishop Oyedepo those days, he said that if you go to the open field where different animals do the poo-poo, are you getting my point? That you can see the rat one, tiny like this. The elephant, too, you see size. He said, the day you see an elephant doing the doo-doo like a rat, you know there's a problem. He said, you know that it's about to die. He said, so you have to do it appropriately. So I told my brethren, as all of them, they grow like elephants, so I want to see your offering being elephantic. Hallelujah. One brother got up from there, went outside, brought out his phone. Phew! 1 million naira. I said, hey, this is what we are talking about. No prayer. We did not pray. What we just did was say, brethren, God has blessed you. Why are you making me pray? Too many pastors are praying on things that shouldn't be prayer points. They should be praying that, Father, in the name of Jesus, tomorrow morning as we begin to minister, the blind will see, the lame will walk, the dead will be raised in the name of Jesus. Miracle. Not Father, send money. That's a bad prayer point. And the church members that cause it. Pastor will now spend all night confessing on finances in the name of Jesus. We receive money. Thank God I'm not an angel. I'm for the flog people. I just say, you come. Why is your pastor confessing on money? And you are paying bank $150,000 a month because you want to drive fine Hyundai. If I bust the tire now, you say I'm wicked as an angel. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Let me come here. I'm enjoying my gist. When we get to heaven, when God wants to judge, you know there are all kinds of pastors out there. There are all kinds of pastors. There are liars who call themselves pastors. There are thieves. Jagudas. You know what they call Jagudas? That's Yoruba word for thug. Some of them are out there. So we're not talking about them. We're talking about real pastors. Amongst the real pastors, when it comes to money, there are two sides. There are those who are very disciplined. They will never beg you for money. They will never twist the word of God for money. Amen. Amen. May you be that kind of pastor in Jesus' name. Amen. That's my desire too. But there's another side. Not all men have faith. People have different levels of faith. When school fees is due, they start preaching all kinds of doctrines. In the name of Jesus, as you sow into the life of the man of God, as his life is growing, you too will be growing. God didn't say so, but I mean, the man has to encourage you to believe it. Why? Because money has to flow. So God doesn't like that. It's called twisting the word of God, adulterating it. So God normally collects Cain and flogs people for such things. So when he wants to flog, you know what he does? He calls the pastor, stand here. Let me flog you. Or before I flog you, call that man for me. You stand here. And that man said, good, I'm going to testify against you today. I was in church as we were twisting the scriptures. So God says, all right, how much cane are we giving for this lie they lied to this Sunday morning? The angel will say, sir, you said 15. It's okay. See that man of God giving 5. See that brother beside him giving 10. So the man will look like, what? Sir, I'm not a preacher. He said, I know you're not a preacher. But why is the preacher lying? You used his money to lay foundation. You wanted to give it before. But because they said cement went up because of recession, you cut the offering of the man of God. You now provoked him to lying. I will flog him for lying. But you, for inciting lying. Listen to me. Before you start criticizing man of God, ask yourself, am I part of the problem? Because if I was a preacher, I would never lie like that. Listen. I pray for grace never to lie like that. But I also understand, if your children knock on your door and say, Daddy, can we have one to buy bread and egg this morning to eat? And you say to them, go, I'm coming. And they say, there's nowhere to go, we have dressed. You need extra grace. Jesus saw the cross. He ran to go and pray. If obedience was so easy, why was Jesus praying? If obedience was so easy, why was the Lord praying? He would have said, bring it on. Bring on the cross. Bring it on. He didn't say that to him. And when he was going to pray, he said, please watch with me. Sometimes you need to financially watch with a man of God. One said he did one thing one day. He brought a new car for pastor's meeting. And so the other men were saying, the other man of God, see your car. Omo, what happened? He said, this one. It's a prophetic car. How did he say, now one brother from my church. He said, look, no do. We did that. This man bought the first car. Would they pray, would they prophesy, would they minister? He bought his second car. We are praying, we are prophesying. We are ministering the word. He bought a third car. He said, my people, now I'm not can prophecy. I'm not joking. What I'm telling you is not a joke. He said, I'm not can prophecy. He said, the guy was so resistant, he didn't move. Now I'm not come another one day. He said, finally, one day when he didn't move, I went to him. I said, is he when God kills you, you obey him? He said, that day, after service, now I enter my office, drop the key. Say, now I'm to be that. It's when you have not passed out for long, you won't know why the man is reacting like that. I'm not saying you should react like that too. I told you, Apostle, the other day, after I judged everything, I prayed to God, because there's nothing like saying, I'm a strong man, it doesn't matter. You can be saying it right now, because your car is still bigger than that of most people you are pastoring. When they start blind private jet and you are still calling the chuku, come and check my brake. Now you go wonder, I say, God, that man, he will never fly again. They won't know why you are sitting in your house. So before that plane takes off, don't let it crash in the air. Let FAA ground him in Jesus' name. Amen. I've told you before, I'm going to do that one. That one I'm sure. This one I want to tell you now. I'm going to do it. Come to me one day and say, man of God, come and bless my private jet. I will go. You won't know what I plan for you. I will just get there. I'm standing like this. So let us pray, brethren. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for this beautiful bird here. Thank you, because it will never crash. It will never crash. How can it crash when it will never fly? Oh, you know, I go pop that. Say, Pastor, what did you say? I said, in the name of Jesus, this thing will not fly from here. You will be paying ground rent to FAAN until your spirit wakes up and knows the will of God. You now look at me and say, Pastor, please, explain the will of God. How much is this thing? I've seen where Charis is selling BMW X's. Go and bring one. Lexus, and today, LS570, plus the Infiniti QX92. There's nothing like that, but they will do it because of you. Park the three of them here. Let me share to me. And then, like, two Camrys. Put all of them together. Let man of God drive. Let the men in the ministry drive. Before you start flying like an idiot around the place. We're flying anyhow. Rubbish flying. I mean, you cannot fly until everybody's walking properly. Only you just be walk or just be fly. Wait. Just then, we'll go. You won't see where to land when we plan for you. We'll have packed all our old cars. Udejuku. Bring that old Passat. Pack him across the wrong way. You say, let me go. I like no worry. I don't call person for worry. When your fuel wants to dry, say, Pastor, I beg now. I say, confess. Declare after me in the name of Jesus. As I land, straight to Corcharis. As I land, to Stallion Motors. As I declare, like, I will now move the cars. You will now land. You'll be inciting men of God to sing. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. So that is why God will just get up one day when he's sharing the flogging. The man who twisted the scripture shall be flogged. The man who incited the twisting by his responsibility shall collect more than half of it. So we Christians, to avoid stories that touch, we make sure that every part of life that God has ordained us to participate in, we do it. We give for the provision of the gospel. We give to those God said we should honor. Every day you go home, Honor your parents. I've said that one. I don't want to teach that message again. All right? Help those who are in need. These are things, and like I said last time, these are things we determine and we propose in our hearts and we plan for. We plan for it. It's the end of the year. Your company, you declare everything at the end of the year. You know, at the end of this year, you have a few millions that come into your pocket. It's seed for the sower first before bread for food. So you plan for it. How am I sharing it? So like I was saying, it's your personal decision. Nobody's making anything compulsory for you. You share it as God has given you understanding. As God has given you a burden. As God has given you revelation. When I say revelation, I don't mean any big word. I just mean that if you find out there are six young women that God has placed across your path for you to make sure they are guided through school without any stress. University I'm talking about now. They say, you know how much it's going to cost. So you structure it. All right? You structure it. This is how much it cost me to help these young women. You structure it. That's how you share the thing out. Just remember, it's Jesus first, yourself last. Joy, why? Remember? Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. If you structure it like that, it is not difficult to give. Everybody has something to give. If they have not yet hooked themselves up with too much debt. Like I said last time, you know the Brazilian hair that Agbero is going to remove from some people's head. 6 months, they are paying for Brazilian hair. And they say, go to church, say, I don't have money to give. How can you have money to give? You are giving the woman who is selling hair. But if you do it properly, you put yourself last. They will say, buy this Brazilian hair. I say, sorry, I can't afford it. Why? Look at the other things I still have to do. Then one day, God leads to the level where Indian woman will donate hair to you. Mexican woman will donate hair to you, Brazilian. And if sometimes God can even bless you, you will grow it by yourself. Are they not all growing it now? They call it Nachi. Natural hair. They are all growing it now. It's a revelation from God. And if God blesses you, your own will come out rich and thick. The Lord is good. So those are the things that, oh God, I'm preaching my message all over again. But I need to just emphasize these things to brethren, okay? Now, but there's one part that we read at the beginning, which is the main thing I want to talk about today. Let's just go back there again to refresh our minds concerning what we're talking about. Romans chapter 12. Even though I've done a lot of repetition, it's because we're coming to a close in this series, and I just want to emphasize these things properly. That's why I'm doing a lot of repetition, until people are established in the truth. Our aim is that Christians must be generous and cheerful givers. Generous and ready to share. Romans chapter 12, we read that just now. I just want to pick out the scripture again. It said, we all have grace that differ according to the gifts given to us. Each one is to exercise his own gift accordingly. He now said that I just quoted verse 6 now. We have gifts that differ according to the grace. What is grace? The ability. That's the ability that God has given you. I'm reading New American Standard. It says, each is to exercise his own grace, his gift accordingly. Some have the gift to prophesy. So prophesying comes out of them easily. Some have the gift to teach. Like I'm teaching now, I don't struggle to teach. I don't. I'm being honest with you. If I did not even know I could teach, until people testified about it from the time I was in university, I don't struggle to do it. It's called grace. It's called grace. Are you getting my point here? Uh-huh. So I exercise my gift many times a week. I'm teaching. I'm writing. He said in the service, their job is to serve. He now said, I'm just jumping different ones now. Let's now go down to verse 8. He who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality. Now notice that. What was he saying here? There are people that have the gift to give. That is, they have a giving ministry. That's how I like to explain it. Some people have it. And that is always backed by grace. What is grace? Power to make something easy. Now, all of us should communicate the gospel. All of us should be able to teach the word of God to somebody. But we are not all teachers by our ministry and our gifts. In the same manner, every Christian should give. That's a matter of fact. Every Christian should give. What I've given us so far is the general principles for everybody. It applies to everybody. All of us will contribute something for the propagation of the gospel. If you're in a home and you have parents and God has lifted you and your siblings up, you are now earning. You must show them honor. God will bring people that are less than you financially for you to help. Everybody must do that. But beyond all of this, there are people that God said your own primary assignment in life, okay, is to give. Just like some people are preaching. God said, listen, if you are in a church, not only a church, let me not think of church alone. Sometimes you are in a family, okay? You have 4 siblings, you have 5 siblings. Life is not always shared equally. Are you getting my point here? Life is not shared equally. I need to emphasize this. I shared this one with us last time. I think it's good for us to just look at it together today, all right? I just want to explain a particular principle. Because if we don't understand this thing, what happens to a lot of us is that we unconsciously we start thinking life is not fair when it comes to time for us to be responsible. We now realize that this life is not fair. I'm in a family. Our father needs money. He needs to have an operation, and then everything is like 300,000 naira. And my siblings expect me alone to bring all the money. I think it is very wrong of them to expect you alone to bring all the money. But there may be a reason why they expect you alone to bring all the money. Are you getting my point? No, it's very important we understand it. Let's just read this particular, the story of the widow. The book of Luke chapter 21. From verse 1, he said, and he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw a poor widow putting in 2 small copper coins. King James says 2 mites. And he said, truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all of them. For they put out of their surplus, for they all out of their surplus put into the offering. But she out of her poverty put in all that she had to live on. Please, there's a principle here. He said, some gave out of their surplus. And that's how a lot of us give. They give out of their surplus. What I don't need, I give out of it. But this woman, the Bible says that she dug into what she needed to live on. And then, when she saw it wasn't much, she decided to give everything. The principle here is simple. You know, we used to think, until E.G. Lynx pointed this out to me when I was reading his book, I also used to think like that. That it's about proportions. But he pointed out that, look at it, it's not about proportion. It's about what you have to live on. Okay? About what you have to live on. That if a man has, let's say Nigeria of today, has 20 million naira, and he has 4 children resuming school next week, and he gave an offering of 10 million, that's 50%. What is remaining is more than enough to pay the fees, feed them for the rest of the year, everybody is happy. So, even though she has given 50%, half of all her money, you cannot assume that she's more generous than somebody who had only 100,000 naira, who also has kids to go to school the following week, and gave 10,000 naira. Because what is remaining, which is 90,000 naira, is quite small compared to his own 10 million. Even though his proportion is only 10, actually he has given more than the man that gave 50%. Why? It is what they have to live on you are talking about here. I hope you get my point here. Now, this is why I'm talking about this. Because there are 2 kinds of people that God has given the giving ministry in life. There are 2 kinds of people. Now, that is how you discover it. The first set are people that all they ever think about when things are happening is what to give. And God just puts in their heart. They come in here, they sit down. Everybody say, we are hearing the word. Our seats are comfortable. The ambience is good. And they are thinking, I wonder how much they are paying to make the place comfortable. That's what he's thinking about. He doesn't have much. Sometimes he doesn't even have a job yet. He's not earning anything. But he's just concerned that, wow, running this ministry must cost something. And the type of person that will be making inquiries. Okay, how much does it cost to do this? How much does it cost to do this? We want to do a program. Or maybe we're in the family, like we said, okay, we need to get something done. And he's wondering, how much will it cost? How much will it cost? His heart, her heart is always, what can I do financially as a gift? And every time money comes in, say, good, I've always wanted to do this. I've always wanted to do this. So you now find people like that giving 10%, 20, 30, 40, 60, 90, 100% of their earning. It never stresses them. Not, now, this is the point. Not because they have abundance, but because they have what? Grace. Now, a lot of preachers, pastors, we make that mistake. And I think that because of that, they are more faithful than other people. Not necessarily. Each person has his grace. Sometimes other people have that grace is operating in an area that you're not aware of. Are you getting my point here? It's not only preaching he's spending money on. He's spending money on feeding the poor. He's spending money on the homeless. He's spending money on the fatherless, the motherless, you know, the orphans. God is spending money on different things. Listen to this, to surprise some people. He's even spending money to place the person he wants in power. Yes, God is also spending money. It doesn't mean he's bribing. Adverts are not free. In societies where you cannot steal government money to put yourself back in power, the money has to come from somewhere. And if God is concerned about who is governor, is president, who's going to be governor, I mean, there was one that I watched on TV once. The governor was a man who was a retired school principal in the United States of America. He contested against two very powerfully, that is financially powerful people. And the day he won that election, this was many years ago, almost 20 years ago that I saw this now on TV. He said, this definitely has been an experience money could not buy. Because he was the poorest of the three. Both the other two candidates were multi-millionaires. And they had resources to spend on the campaign. He didn't have any. He was a retired school principal. But people liked him. What I want to say, to put such a person in office, the people had to spend money. They had to spend money. They had to gather and put money down. So you see, God is interested in such things. So he also puts people there to do such things. So sometimes you find that people might have their grace in different areas. Now, sometimes when we pastors don't understand, the person that God sends to us to assist, do you get my point? We think he's more faithful than everybody else. Not necessarily so. That's one thing I learned from Kenneth Hagin. I'm not saying I've perfected it, but I'm working towards it too. He said he tries to treat everybody the same. When he was a pastor, he didn't care who you were. If you didn't give any money to church, and you gave a lot of money to church, you got the same treatment. And there are many reasons why a minister should know that. Because sometimes you look at people from outside. You know this thing they call powder and oil. When you put it on the face, you don't know what's really going on inside. There are those who are very good at smiling. But their pocket is weeping and gnashing teeth every day. And you as a man of God, you think the guy has money. He doesn't. Just like he knows how to iron his shirt. Anytime he irons, he's standing straight. He looks like gold. But if the guy tells you his woes, you will give him an offering. You forget that you are the preacher. So Kenneth Hagin said he tries to treat everybody the same. Now, but my emphasis here is that, you see, so there are people who are very faithful, not just because they are faithful, but because they have a grace in that area. I'm not emphasizing that there's, I remember I said there are two. I'm emphasizing one part. This issue of grace. So if, and then God, you see, God, if he gives you a gift, he gives the ability to exercise it. So such people, what he starts doing is that he starts pouring grace in their direction. For example, the more I preach, the more I teach the word, the more I study scripture, the more I have to teach. It's called grace. The more I exercise myself in teaching, the more grace I have to do it. In the same manner, for people like that, the more he gives, the more God has found him faithful, and the more he pours grace into his hands, and finances start flowing into his hands. So it starts when he's small. Then one day he says, oh, that brother is always, anytime he wants to give, it's 100 million, it's 150 million. So people now go and say, you see, that's why you have to start giving. When you start giving, God will start multiplying for you. And God says, I don't do it for everybody, I'm sorry. You don't have that grace. Don't let anybody preach it to you to make you go and cure for grace that's not yours. You had better go and start teaching scripture. You are a teacher. You are a preacher. You are an apostle. Go out there and go and break new grounds. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Exercise yourself in that. Don't join those who are giving so that they can multiply and have more to give. Oftentimes that's the problem. We mix everything together. But I need to teach this for people. That's the major reason I'm teaching it. Please, if you can, read that book, So Who Will Pay For This. I also taught it inside that book, So Who Will Pay For This. Because when you don't talk about grace, You don't provoke it in the hearts of Christians. So many people are there. They have the grace. They don't know it. His friends tell him that, hey, only you always give, you always give. I mean, why you don't have? God sends 20,000 naira into his hands. And his friends say, listen, this is time for you to buy a new pair of shoes or change your phone or something like that. And they come. Okay, let's go and buy the phone. Say, I don't have money again. How come you don't have money? But yesterday they paid you 20,000 for the job we did now. Actually, as we were coming, you know, I told that guy that I was telling you about now that needed to write the exam tomorrow, I just remembered him. So I called him. He said he had not paid the fees still. And the money that he needed to pay was 18,500. So I gave it to him. Huh? So his friends look at, are you all right? This guy, suffering will kill you. Can you imagine? He said, guys, check him now. I just remembered him yesterday. How, why would I go and be buying a new pair of shoes when people have not written exams? Oh, I went to church on Sunday, and pastor was saying that the program starts next week, and that if anybody has something to contribute, I just realized that I have not contributed anything. Don't worry, these shoes will buy later. But this program is this week. So what did you do? I just dropped the 20,000. It was in my hand that time. So because it was in your hand, you dropped it. Even if it was not there, I would have gone to get it. So don't think that's the reason. And they're looking at him like, what is wrong with this guy? People don't realize that's his grace. The Bible says, quench not the spirit. Don't obstruct the flow of his grace. Don't counsel him away from his grace. That's why I need to teach this. Because a lot of Christians don't know. They have that grace. They are not exercising it. So God is not adding to it. Let's talk about this, because as you're talking like this, people have it, their hearts start stirring up. I told you, when was I doing ministry? That's my grace. That's my gift. My wife and I folded just the 12 of these tracks that co-workers would gather and fold. 10,000 copies, only two people, and gave out everything free. And listen, I'm being honest with you. It's not that I'm saying it that I realize that I never said it. I never said, God, for this work we are doing, no, you reward it. It didn't cross my mind. I don't know whether I get my point. Yes, I did not see that sacrifice for God. We are doing this now. We are suffering. When our enjoyment comes, they will know. It didn't cross my mind. It's not that I'm saying it to you now. I realize that some people would have expected me to think like that. You say, oh, now God has opened doors for you. Go here and there, preaching on TV, on radio, and all of that. It was because we folded the tracts. And now, it's not as if we are not enjoying, of course, you know. There's no enjoyment in it. But because we did that, God said, let us now add grace. I told you, testimony. We now have a quarterly program in Port Harcourt. The next one, you can mark the date, is February 3rd and February 4th. The next one after that is, the dates are already fixed. Posters will be printed. A hotel hall is hired. Hotel rooms are hired for us to stay. All those things are done, and Kingdom World Ministries Enugu doesn't spend a dime. It is the friends of Kingdom World Ministries in Port Harcourt. They gather themselves, they levy themselves, and I've never asked them how much is the hall. When they say, can we make it quarterly? I said, don't beg me. I should be thanking you. This is the kind of dream we had in mind. You people now begged us to come. And I said, which kind of begging is this? Are you getting my point? This is not begging. And literally, I remember them once in a while. I pray for them. Why am I saying all of this? God opened those doors. Maybe because we're folding tracks. But it's not a reward for folding tracks. What is the enjoyment in driving to? I mean, when we were coming back the last time, we were at Okigwe. We drove in the dark, our lights were not bright. The car's light not good. Because when Okigwe trucks block here, we're there. Oh. So there's no enjoyment. That's something they say. There's no enjoyment in it. But you see, because we say, okay, you folded the tracks. Now I put you on radio for that reason. Why? Grace is amplified. Because you folded the tracks. You have a website. In fact, one of my friends from the UK, actually sent me, my classmate of mine, is a minister, is in UK. All right? He said, you have a very strong web presence. Apparently, he did a small search. Boom, it came out on top. All of this, God said, let me do that. Why? You folded the tracts. It's not payment. I don't know whether you're getting my point here. It's not payment. In the same manner, remember I'm talking about quench not the spirit. Some people have the giving grace. Don't advise them away from it. Just be watching them. They will give until they are broke. There are those who say that you only give what you have, but the same people will buy a car on credit and be paying. Anything you can buy on credit, you can give on credit. That's my logic. If you can do it on credit for yourself, you can do it on credit for somebody else. That I've told you. Peter Daniel said that he wanted to see how much money a man could give. He gave and gave until he was flat broke. So he went to the bank and borrowed on his business. He said, lend me money. What do you want to do with it? I want to give it out. Are you all right? Is it your money? My business is collateral. If I don't pay, collect. The bank lent him money. He gave it out. God replenished it. He said, I want to see how much a man who grew up in poverty can give in a lifetime. When I tell you, Bill Gates is the richest man in the world, don't mind those things. That man, nobody knows how much he has given because he's not out there announcing the whole. He's a Christian. So he gives the way the Lord Jesus said. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain here. It's called grace. Many Christians have that grace, but they've not been taught. Most of us pastors don't realize it exists. We think it's just a normal Christian thing. So we expect every Christian to be that dedicated. But they are not because they don't have the grace. They don't have it. Their grace is in different areas. No matter how much they give, God is not replenishing the way we promise He will replenish. Why? God said, this is not the job I sent them to do. Everybody has his own gift. I said it many years ago that I don't believe that even if I'm spending ₦1 billion a month, I believe that most of the money will come from 12 people. Because as God has put the grace to teach His word in my mouth, put it in my life, so has He placed grace on some people to go and pay. That's what He did. When we're still paying rent, less than $200,000 a year. One day our rent was due here. There was less than $200,000 a year. And Kai, there was no money. Personally, I didn't have. Ministry did not have. If I had personally, that's what ministry was at the beginning. My wife and I paid for everything. I didn't have. Ministry did not have. I was praying, Father. Then that day I was climbing my stairs. I was having a conversation. Maybe it was the Holy Spirit. So if this one you are doing, if the money comes tomorrow now, how will you feel? Wouldn't you feel bad for worrying? I said, it's true. I shouldn't worry. So I gave the Lord thanks. So that day I spoke to myself. I said, it's true. I shouldn't worry. The next day, a brother called me. He sent us ₦1 million. The next day. Either the next day or the day after that. I was believing God for how much? Under 200,000. The next day, I got a call. Say, sir, we just send the ministry money. I was so happy that I gave up worrying before then. You understand my point?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, because my repentance was reduced. Because I gave up worrying before that day. Listen, it's called grace. It's grace that God poured on some people. And Chris, listen, I'm teaching this so that those who have the grace will start exercising themselves. This one that pastors come on air and be embarrassing the whole body of Christ as if the gospel is about money raising. It's coming to an end. But God can't bring it to an end until He stirs up this grace in the hearts of His people. The one pastor's mount, once they start on radio, we thank God. At the end of it, they preach for 5 minutes and beg for 5 minutes. That is the embarrassment. I wish I had money to send all of that. So please, stop that thing. Of course, I don't need to tell you when you watch TV. Oh, Father in heaven. And what used to pain me is the lies. As I was coming today, I began to hear in my spirit the grace amplification principle. What is grace? 5, the number of grace. When it's amplified, 200, it becomes 25. So the Lord said, if you're going to have 1 million people that will give $25 each, they'll pour grace upon this country. Hey! I said, the Lord didn't say it. Forget that thing. Are you sure the Lord didn't say it? I know the kind of things He says. When He wants to say, He doesn't put on national TV. He started laughing at us. One day I went to church, the reverend there was an Anglican church. So I think I think I was the one that preached that day, there. When I finished preaching about the seed is the word of God, the man got up at the end and he said, I was talking about something else. I just said, the seed is the word of God. He said, praise God, though. We thought the seed was money. Have you not been watching TV? I felt bad. And this is an angry, this is a reverend gentleman. He was embarrassed that he put on TV as one is finishing, another person is coming up. One said, God said, grace amplify. One said, this is the year of release. The number of jubilee is 50. Tonight, those who want release, they will put 50 or the amplification of 50. If you put in 5,000, God said he will save everybody in your house. I say, yeah. No, have you not heard it? But I've explained to you, don't be angry. Again, be angry on the other side. That God, please, give me money to shut these lies up. Yes, it's an important prayer. Don't just be angry. It's like, I can't be lying like this. You've never given them 10 cover. Between you and them, you are lying together. You go to the church, you're angry, your pastor is lying. Have you ever given him money? You said, didn't you lie when you were hungry? Should I prove to you you lied? I was just pastor, said, let me just greet you. It's a lie. You were hoping they were cooking. Is that not a lie? Ah, you tell somebody, man, this your shirt is fine, no? Is the shirt fine? Yes. Was that why you told him? No. You are hoping he will offload. Is that not a lie? We all dead. Look, listen, you better be repenting on your seat for the lies you have told. So the pastor that's lying too, his own lie is more serious because he handles a delicate matter. But are you getting my point? Have mercy on him, small. But I'm talking about the release of grace. There are people that God said, listen, if you understand this, I will make you so rich, you will be embarrassed. You know the kind of riches that embarrass you? You see that people will say that countries are countries, and you are wondering, how can country be hard? I just made 500 million yesterday, and I didn't even leave my house. You know, that's what I call embarrassing. You can't tell your friends, because if you tell them, you don't know what they would think. They say, the country is hard, you know, you can't pay children's school fees. You can't pay children's school fees. Now, wow. So you go and greet him at home. Hey, children, how are you doing? You dash each child 1 million. And your friend is wondering, what is wrong with this guy? But you don't know how to tell him, I have 500 of it. And I don't need it. But I can't tell you, it's going to appear. You're embarrassed. Listen to me. You are listening to me this evening. God will do it in your life. Amen. He will do, and it's nothing. Oh God, I pray you get the point. It's nothing. It's as easy for him to do as to explain John chapter 3 verse 16 to Pastor Banky. The same thing. It's grace. I come and say, go. Like Apostle was quoting me just now. The pastor came the other day, he said that by faith he understands. And he was excited. It impressed him. That's how he's using it for a prayer point. You hear something last week is prayer point today. You know what it means? You're impressed with the revelation. That is, and for God, giving a man, a young woman make 50 million every weekend is as easy. After all, what is by grace we understand? It's not understand, you understood. In the same manner, he can give you information. Invest in this. And it's not, you're not a gambler. Gamblers are those who don't know what's going to happen. They are hoping something will happen. But Joseph knew the famine would be 7 years. Sorry, he knew the abundance would be 7 years. Was he gambling? Let's prepare and gather things. It was not gambling. If Joseph was an investor today, are you getting what I'm saying? What I want to tell you is not a joke. There are those that God told, listen, between now, he said, from now, I want all your resources held in dollars. He said, Lord, why? He said, because over the next 3 years, I am going to break down the value of the naira by 300%. So I'm going to crash it down down to one third. And God told them. And he said, from now on, this is how you handle it. And they are doing business, and they are not stealing. They are doing legitimate business. They are doing that. Oh, you are shouting. Nah, 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 value. It's not moving them. A day will come again. Some of them, angels will actually talk to them. They'll be in the office. A man will say, somebody wants to see you. Person will walk in, and he will sit down. Suddenly in his spirit, he will know it's an angel. And he will stand. What is the Lord saying? So the Lord says, I want you to stop investing here. Henceforth, all your investment go to this side. Do you get the point? You say, yes, I do. And the angel will carry his briefcase and walk out through the wall. And the man will call the board meeting the next day and say, look, that meeting we had last week, scrap everything. They say, why? He said, don't worry, I know what I'm doing. And they are used to him. If God says so, sorry. And all the investment they had planned before, they watch it crumble over the next few months. How did he know? And the Lord said, don't tell them. Look, these are graces available. Christians that have just not, they've not been released. That's it. They are still sowing seeds so they can harvest. So God said, who's talking about you harvesting anything? I'm talking about people being released to walk into realms that the earth did not know existed. So harvesting what? Listen, sometimes I'm sitting down watching TV because I watch a lot of things. I'm watching. I mean, Mark Cuban said something once. He said when Uber came up, it was the first day approach for investment. He looked at Uber and said, this is not going to work. He said, I'm the fool for it now, when he was saying it. There are those that God will say, invest in it, hold it for 5 years. They'll go public at this particular time, liquidate everything because I'm shutting them down after 2 years. They'll put in $1 million, it'll turn to $400 million. It's called grace. It's not a principle of show and you shall reap. No. It's grace. And such people, one thing that will mark them, they are not. That's something you must understand about Christianity. Most of the people who are doing things like this for God, they are not in the pages of the newspaper. They are not pastors. So you don't hear their stories. How many of you ever saw a Rehoboam Bonnke crusade? Each crusade Rehoboam Bonnke did, do you know how many millions used to go into it? Did you ever hear the man receive an offering? Did you ever hear Rehoboam Bonnke say, this program has cost us a lot? There are things he doesn't do. But does it mean he doesn't pay? Believe me, those bills are paid by people that you and I will never find out about. And even when we get to heaven, it's not a topic for discussion. There are other things we discuss. We're talking about grace. There is a giving ministry, I'm telling you. There are people that God wants to convert resources into their hands. They don't make the news. So their 50th birthday, it's only them and their family. It's not on the pages of any newspaper. Yet, if you were to ask them, when it gets to that point, a man will tell you that in this family, my wife and I will release 150 million naira every month to ministries. And when it's going out, the Vushu Corolla, Toyota Corolla, model 7 years old. So you've not changed your car. Are you still working well? He doesn't see why you should change it. God didn't give him money for changing cars. He gave him money to preach the gospel, feed the poor, educate. That is, some people, a man like that, maybe all his wife does is share money. After the children have gone to school, she starts sharing money. Live in a decent but modest home. No newspaper. Those people are not covered by newspapers. They don't make it to the pulpits. They are not preachers. The pastors they are giving to are not even their friends. They're not friends. They just come, worship the Lord, hallelujah. Offering, they'll drop envelope, what do they call it? Check inside. 10 million. You don't know how much he has. You think, oh, this 10 million, this brother is faithful to us. You don't know that you are one of the 50. You don't know him. The day you talk, what do you do? You say, oh, we transport tomatoes. That's the one that concerns you. What he didn't tell you is that we mine for gold in South Africa. I didn't tell you that part. What he did not tell you is that for the last 15 years, there has been no currency change in the world that the angels of God did not inform me about at least 6 months ahead. That's what he didn't tell you. What he wouldn't tell you is that he would tell you, I know the day they are going to deregulate this and that. The Lord has told me, strategize, be ready for this. You just greet him, ah, well done, sir. God bless you. Ah, Father, Lord bless you. Let me pray for you, sir. You don't know he's more anointed than you. Is it because he's giving you money? Is it because you are a preacher? In his own area of grace, you should be kneeling down. Yeah, but you won't know. Because he's just a simple person. That's what we call it. Look, that's what I've understood from time. All these ones are coming to church, everybody here, we have a special need this morning. Who will give us 1,000? Who will give us 2,000? The Lord says to me this morning, there will be 50 people who says, my God, I will give him 10,000 each today for the breakthrough that I'm expecting. That thing smells in God's nose. He dislikes hearing it. It's an embarrassment. We don't paint a correct picture of him. That's not his character. He accepts the 1 naira offering, 10,000 naira offering, 2,000, he accepts everything. But it does not depend on the whole congregation to gather and they stressing themselves. No. So I did this in this time period. I said, look, I've given grace. What I just want is for people to understand that this grace is available. There are those that have the giving ministry. That's what I'm talking about. I said there are two types. I've just generally described this grace as it's released. The second type, let me quickly mention, because I just looked at my time briefly now. I just realized how far gone it is. There's another one of that type, which I believe is also a manifestation. People find it out practically. Unfortunately, again, the world doesn't understand it. They think a woman is lucky because he earns a lot of money. But let me tell you today, God says once you earn beyond average, you don't buy job. You know what they call buy job? It's pidgin English. That is, God says, to whom much is given, much is expected. What we'll find is that Christians who know how to live large, sometimes it upsets my soul when I see the way Christians live large. You know how to live in large? Flying everywhere, buying every new gadget that shows up, and they think it's a sign that they have prospered. I believe in prosperity. But believe me, you don't want to get to the judgment seat of God and God is accusing you. Say, how come that the evangelism in that place was not complete? Say, I don't know, those pastors, instead of them to preach, say, wait. They were going to preach, they didn't have money. Why didn't they have money? You bought a new car, that's why they didn't have money. Their money bought a new car. Why? Because you feel you're a big boy. You have plenty of money. So it's you know, by the strength of my might, for the glory of my majesty. So it should show in my life. You know, I told you before, I look at Nigeria. In fact, you know, I look at God, I say, Papa God, I'm still feeling sorry for him. I'll soon stop. Dear Lord, so sorry. Oh. I feel sorry for him in that. They will pray, bless us, bless us, bless us. Then when he blesses us, we export the blessing. And we say it's a sign of blessing. Listen, until people's mindsets change, America will only God can break the power of America. Only God. Human, what do you call it? Islamic State can't do it. Do you know why? It's a very simple spiritual principle. The desire of all nations is for them. And once the desire of all nations is for them, they will carry their wealth to the place. And their gates will not close day or night. You get the principle? The same Arabs who are shouting, grace Satan, grace Satan, give them opportunity. Phew! They run to America. Iranians run to America. Syrians run to America. Afghans run to America. Saudis run to America. Everybody wants to go to America. And once everybody wants to go there, they will not be poor. I see the way we talk, you know, dollar, dollar. I say, why is dollar our international measure of wealth? Why? I'll give you a summary of the reason. It's God. God just, everybody look at dollar. And once everybody looking at dollar, there's no how it's coming down. Because when you are looking at, where is it? Up there. It's up there. Barack Obama at the time was pointing it. Do you know, people don't realize what they call it, quantitativism. They just go to the press and print it the way you print paper. Ah, I looked and said, Father in heaven. Now that, what I told you is the reality. The reason why America can print, do you know America's number one export? Who can tell me? The $100 bill is our number one export. That $100 paper is the greatest thing that comes out of America. everybody wants it. And once everybody wants it, it will have value. That's just by the way. So God said, I want to bless these people, but their minds is where? America. So once I give them small blessing, they used to buy printed notes. But that's not my main message is those who said, you are in the giving ministry. By default, you are in the giving ministry. How did you get into it by default? Like I said, you are in it by default. How did you get inside there? I just gave you extra. I gave you abundance. Then what are you doing? You still are still behaving as if giving is last. You are still behaving as if it is what you do out of pocket change. When I've satisfied myself, for you, it is still a matter of he gave bread for food and remnant for the sower. God said, but it's not like that. It's not like that. Once I give you abundance, you still follow the same principle. It is, first of all, seed for the sower, then bread for food. And if you put sowing first, you will realize that you are defaultly in the giving ministry just because you earn so much. People get good jobs, they are comfortable and everything, and at the end of the month, you see their pay package. How much? 300,000. People say, wow, you have a good job. But there are people that is their weekend. What is weekend? That's... Well, one of our brothers was telling me the other day, he said, there's some man he knows that he and his wife combined earn 10 million naira a month. Okay, I think he said 9. Yes, okay, 9. He was trying to tell me foolishness. Those guys were about to do something very foolish. He said, these are people who earn 9 million naira combined a month. I started by telling you 300,000 naira will be considered a good... I mean, it's good money, isn't it? But all around, there are people who earn 10 times that. And they just look normal. Their heads is just normal size. That is why, those of you know me well enough, I don't have time for all this. If you don't give God 10%, he will send you to hellfire. Because if you give me 10%, I will send you to the second hellfire. Because the amount of money I have given you, if you and me calculate a percentage, quite a good day. I expect you to just wake up in the morning. When I pay you money, just say, hey, Lord, work has started. This is work. I look at them and say, okay, go there. Yes. Roof that building for them. They have been constructing for 4 years. Yes, Lord. You get there. Guys, how much is your roofing? They say, just 6 million, sir. You know, the church is big. He says, that's so. All right, take these 3. I'll be back. I say, good boy. Sit down. That is, those who have given ministry, they will give until they beg. That is, they borrow to continue giving. Can't even share this inequality. Do we share this pulpit equally? No, think about it. Every time you come here, nobody means they stand for here. If you see anybody here, you could lose your way, Pastor. You know I traveled. In the same manner, people think this is prestigious. Yes, no, it's a job. In the same manner, when it comes to giving, it's not, they don't share it equally. It's not shared equally. It's not shared equally at all. But that is not the reason of offering. It's the release of grace I'm talking about. Henceforth, because of you, people won't talk about money again. Listen, it will come to a time, a pastor will know you and come to you and say, listen, we have a program next week. It's 5 million. How much are you bringing? Say, so, okay, I could give you the 5 million, but it's not good. So take 4.8. Let the other brethren contribute 200,000. He said, no, just bring the 5 million complete. I'll remove the 200,000. Then they will contribute. You know, people don't know, say, man of God, do they chop? You know, some of this, it is not, Apostle, you didn't get my point. You said that Pastor Murphy is doing program, you give him 50,000. Okay, thank you. Him, Munko, you know, go chop. Next time, you give him 55. Are you going to say, okay, 50,000 for the program, 5 for you. That is the way to do this thing. We're tempting men of God to be rearranging accounting. No, Christians won't get that point. You want them to give 200, don't worry. I will deduct the 200 on their behalf. So you see, you are watching it. I've collected it. What are you doing with it? My wife and I are going to ShopRite. Do you have anything against this Black Friday? The Lord is good. Somebody say grace. Say grace to prosper. Grace to prosper. Grace to give. Grace for abundance. Yeah, that's what we're talking about. Let's leave it there so we can go home. Let's rise to our feet. I want us to pray. Let's just take a few minutes and pray. I feel that this is one ministry that pastors have not taught well, mostly because they are not well informed themselves. They still think we share giving equally in the body of Christ, but it's not true. It's not true. We don't share it equally. Some people have grace. Begin to give a lot of thanks, especially if you sense that grace in your life. Listen, don't claim the grace because you want to enjoy it. Don't even go near that. God, when you have that kind of grace, the Lord starts marking you. Starts marking you. The same way I'm not allowed to say just what I like. I'm not allowed to twist the word of God for what I will gain personally. The same manner you're not allowed to twist the money for what you will gain personally. You will build missions, you will do all kinds of things, and after 20 years, you still won't own your own house. And people will think you are mad. Because they know what you have done. They total it in those 20 years, you have given out literally in billions, but you've never at a point in time be able to settle down. Don't let them, I'm not explaining something here. It's not something to aspire to because you want to enjoy. All your friends will carry their children, travel over the world, be enjoying. And they know what you can do. When your wife says, are we traveling? And you look at your wife and say, baby, I'm sorry we can't. Why not? You know the other day, you know that orphanage was sponsoring? Yes, I just found out that 6 of those children have passed SSCE exam. And have decided that they should go to a private university. Look at their fees. And your wife too, because God gave you a wife like yourself. She will say, it's true. So where are we going? Say, let's go to Abuja. Go and visit. Let's go. Children, let's go to ShopRite for this Christmas. All their friends who have that same financial muscle with their parents, they're in different parts of the world. It's not something you're aspiring to say, me too, I want to chop life. No. At the point in time, people will look at you and think you are mental. You think something is wrong with you? Because one day you will gather money and say, finally! They are selling land in one choice area. Your wife always wanted a house there. The land is 60 million, you have the money. And the day before you pay, you just go to church. Sometimes God just sends those pastors to be temptation for your soul. And I say they want to do Enugu Wafbek. Okay. And they are bringing ministers from everywhere. And pastor has not told anything. The Holy Spirit just say, do you know how much it costs to fly minister from different parts of the country? You are looking here. And I say, somebody worship the Lord. You are like this. You are frozen. They don't know the calculation going on in your head. As you're about to go home, your wife says, have you heard? Were you there in church? As we're saying, no. My spirit was just saying that this must happen. This must happen. And I look at your wife. You and your spirit, will you be careful? You go to church. Pastor, how far? What's the budget? Pastor says, everything we have seen, we have 15 million. Say, Pastor, take the 15. Don't announce the bad money again. Tell the agent, we know they buy again. It's a matter of fact that the material things are vanity. That's why God gave it the money. That's one of the reasons why God has not released the grace. Christians still give to God out of change. That's why the grace has not been released. A man with such an amount, if he gives 6 million, then I feel so quiet. In fact, the pastor comes to personally dedicate his house. And so it's really important. And pastors have just made people who are failing in their ministry. You have exalted them as if they are faithful people. Just because you say you get poverty mentality. I'm saying all of this, so it's not great. Just what I wanted to just pray. Say, look, if that's my grace, give me revelation. That's just it. It's not something like I claim it. If you want abundance, claim abundance. If you want plenty, claim it. Whatever you want, claim. There's no problem with that. Jesus guaranteed that one for you as a child of God. But we're talking about the giving grace. The grace to bring forth abundance and release it. If you are here and that's your grace, it's beginning to ignite in your soul right now. You might be poor yet, physically speaking. You may not have much, but listen, grace is beginning to be ignited in your life. Begin to give the Lord thanks. Everybody give God thanks. Say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for ability. My own grace. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for ability. Thank you for ability. Thank you for ability. Thank you for ability. I release that giving grace to those who are so called now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Right now, receive it in the name of Jesus. Amen. What has happened over time was that ignorance did not let us know. Ignorance did not let us know that such graces were available. So we wanted to share everything equally. You've given that like everybody else in church, yes, so you are happy. But you do know that God said no for this mission work, for this ministry work, for the support of the orphanage, for the support of the poor, for the development of your society, for your street. Sometimes just even your village, for the building of a town hall to help the, you know, the school in your village, for example. They need school hall. God said, no, I don't want anybody waiting for government again. Sometimes we just give small. We thought every town we do launching. God said, no. I've planted my people everywhere to be a blessing. That grace to those he belongs to, receive it now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Be ignited in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. It doesn't mean you are rich. I tell you, there are two sets. Some they discovered by default. Why? God just gave them abundance. But for some people, he hasn't given them any abundance yet. But there's a kindling in the spirit. They have 5,000, they gladly give out 4. They have 10,000, sometimes they've given out everything before they realize they've started giving. Listen, that grace is amplified now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Lord, send financial laborers into the harvest field. Amen. Father, release those laborers now as a result of this teaching in the name of Jesus. Amen. Somebody will listen to this, not from Nigeria, but from a far place. And his grace, her grace will be kindled in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Grace, the giving grace, the wealth grace, be kindled now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
It's kindled.
Amen.
It's kindled.
Amen.
It will begin to flow.
Amen.
Now listen to a manifestation some of you will have. You suddenly start understanding the markets. Yes. Many will suddenly start inventing things. Let me tell you one word. You must wait upon your ministry. You must wait upon your ministry. You must wait upon your ministry. That is, if you say, this is my work, you wait upon your ministry. If God wants you to be a creator of wealth, a manager of resources, you wait upon your ministry. What do I mean by that? You must have information. Don't sit down there while everybody is shouting. Hey, 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 hey. They are shouting, hey, Biafra, no Biafra. Alarewa, no Arewa, OPC, no OPC. Don't answer them. Open to where they are discussing movement of cash in the country. Open to where reports on investments going on. Those are the things you use to kindle your spirit. Are you getting my point here? You kindle something inside the ghost. I say, hey, Joseph, wait. Don't mind those boys. You know what they are saying. You just see one paper, you see one hidden column in which somebody expresses something, and the Holy Spirit says, that's it. But you can't do that watching Big Brother Africa. Are you getting my point? Your favorite channel cannot be Africa Magic. There's no magic for you there. That's not your favorite channel. You should be watching things like Bloomberg. Bloomberg TV. I'm telling you. You should know what NAFDAC needs when it comes to registering a company. Are you getting my point? You wait upon your ministry. That's what I'm talking about. You wait upon your ministry. Please don't miss, we're going to be teaching next week, from the other week, the laws of fruitfulness. As much as God will give me the grace, I will explain some of these things. I believe that what will happen as a result of the teaching is that Paul said that through the grace given to me, I want each person to know this. That is through the grace given to me, Banky, all right? As I begin to teach, each person will just be stirred up. There will be things I will not say, but they will hear.
Amen.
Are you getting my point? I'm not a musician. I don't know much about music market and all of that, but I will teach. Suddenly, somebody will get inspiration to record music. Somebody will get inspiration to market music in a different way. That's what's going to happen. Please don't miss it. The laws of fruitfulness. Let's give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, thank you. Let's give him thanks. Say, Lord, thank you. Let's thank him. Say, Lord, thank you. Give him praise. Just give him praise. Say, Lord, I receive my grace. 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 Father, I bless your people with your blessing.
Amen.
Goodness will go with you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Mercy will stay with you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
No evil will befall you as you go home.
Amen.
No evil will befall you as you stay at home.
Amen.
Peace will be upon you in your home in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
God will make all grace abound towards you. You will have all sufficiency in all things, and you will abound to every good work in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Your grace is released in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I say your grace is released in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Health is your portion from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Amen. Every affliction in your body, I rebuke it again in the name of Jesus. Amen. And I say, life walks in you right now. Amen. Life walks in you right now. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. This week, God will open a door for you. Amen. A special door just to show that he loves you. We open for you this week in the name of Jesus. Amen. Every form of lack and affliction is broken. Amen. Because Jesus died for you. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. All right, come on, let's share the grace in fellowship. Want to let us go? Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of